Limited. I've never yet understood how a black cow can eat green grass and give yellow butter, white milk, and orange cheese. I ain't gonna understand that yet. I tell you what God does. He does to impress man of how great he is. And man's too sorry to give him glory. Of all the creatures God ever made, man's the only one that won't give God the rightful glory. Do you know that? Here we are depending on every breath from God, every heartbeat from God, and it ought to be the most natural thing in the world to give Him praise and honor.
Yeah.
Appreciate these songs tonight, folks. That's a blessing. I think about Brother Mike and Lori. I was thinking about them today. They're unique in this way. And Todd and Cindy Chapman here tonight's a lot this way. Their whole life's God. I think their hobby's God. Their hobby's reading the Bible. And, and their whole life is given to the work of God. You don't see it much no more. You had people in the days of Christ. And Anna was one of them. And old Simeon was one of them. Their whole life was given to God. And I think Sister Lori thinks her job in life is to make us preachers fatter than we are. Old Doug Michaels here last night, he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "I ain't operating on you. He ain't got no hip or knee. I mean, they're just bone against bone." And the doctor said, "I ain't operating on you. You lose some weight." He said, "You got to lose some weight." He said, "Doctor, I go to a Baptist church." That's when Lori was stuffing him. Praise God. That's some excuse. That ain't going to get it. Lord help. How do you say no? Oh, Lord, it's good to be saved, isn't it? To know God. It's a whole lot better for Him to know us. Amen. Here in Hosea chapter 2, look at verse number 8 and verse number 9. Of course, this is speaking about Hosea and Gomer, picture of God in Israel. "For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax, given to cover her nakedness." I'm going to talk to you a little bit on the gifts from the secret giver. Brother Todd Chapman, pray for us, will you? Yes, Father. God, I love you tonight and praise you for your mercy. Yes, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the household of faith, the saints of God. God, your will may it be done tonight. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. Yes, Lord. May this be the glorious night, the spot. Their conversion, grant it, Lord. Amen. One of the things I thank God for in the Bible and also the life of Christ, Christ spoke by parables. And any time God is going to teach you something, He'll usually give you a picture of that or an analogy of that or a type of that or a figure of that. Because the Lord knows that we have a hard time getting hold of spiritual things. Sort of like a hot pot. You pick up a hot pot, you need a pot holder. And God makes the truth simple that we can understand. Here's a man, got a wife, she's an adulterous woman. She's a harlot. She's broke her husband's heart. And God uses this to illustrate him and his beloved people. Now that probably was an insult to the nation of Israel, especially those that were proud and religionists, that God would literally compare them to an adulterous woman. But He did. And the way that Israel treated God was much like Gomer had treated Hosea here in this story. Now I don't have time to get into all the references of this, but suffice to say that Hosea loved her no matter what she did. There never was a day. He loved her when she is bad. He loved her when she is good. He loved her when she was faithful. And He loved her when she was unfaithful. And that so pictures the love of God for fallen humanity. When God put the stars in their sockets and God made the world and God made the food chain and God dipped out the oceans and God made a place for the rivers. He showed His wisdom. When God put the sun where it's at, when God made oxygen, when God made all the great things that makes the nature literally tick and make a place for man to exist, He shows His great power. But God wanted to show His grace. And the only way to show grace is to give a man something that don't deserve it. And that's exactly what God did. Hosea should have divorced Gomer. Hosea, you think about the flesh, she's about worthy to be strung up from a tree. But Hosea loved her, and Hosea forgave her, no matter what she did. And what a picture that is of God. Brother Mike said tonight, he deserved hell. And I know he believes that. When I say that, I believe that. I wonder sometimes, do we really understand the degree that that really is? How that we really, really do deserve to go to hell. That God is just. I broke His law ignorantly. Then I broke His law knowingly. And then I broke His law deliberately. And you have too. And I deserve the hammer of the wrath of God. And instead of God's hammer, I got God's grace. And I got God's mercy. That's why we love Him. That's why we magnify amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And we glorify God that loved us in spite of what we were and what we'd done. And we give Him glory. Oh, all the years of her whoredom. Oh, Hosea knew what was going on. Sometimes, Brother Jeff, the devil comes to an old sinner. And he used to tell that sinner, you're good enough, you don't need to be saved. Then that lost man or lost woman goes out and has their fun with sin. Then the devil says, you've got too wicked, God can't love you. Boy, the way that liar is, that no matter how far degraded that Gomer got, and she got degraded. She got to the place that the Bible tells us, and I know this is plain language, that every man had her that wanted her, and they had her so many times they didn't want her no more. And there was nobody that would pay the price to even be with her. She's standing there naked on the slave block about to be sold. Hosea makes the bid, and he outbidded the man beside of him, and that man matched the bid. Hosea goes down to his home and brings back the buying price that bought his own wife because of the love wherewith he loved her. What a picture of that is. If God could love her, if Hosea could love her, if God could save Saul of Tarshish, who was the chief of sinners, He can save you and save me. You say, but I'm too wicked to be saved. Thank God that's who God saves, are those that think they're too wicked. The good man says they don't need God, but thank God the bad man knows he needs God. And the ground's level at the foot of the cross, and God came to save humanity from their sin. He don't save you in your sin, He saves you from your sin. Boy, after years of whoredom, here old Hosea is secretly providing for the wife that he loves. I tell you what, I hate to admit this. I'm telling you, there's some things I hate to admit, but it's so. After you serve God and live for God, you'll look back at your life and shudder that you were ever wicked enough to do some things you've done. Some of you in this building have not done as wicked of things as some has. But you just didn't have the opportunity. It's in your mind. It's in your heart too. But that opportunity may not have been there. Oh, aren't you glad that God restrained us from that ultimate deception and destruction of a thief coming but for to steal and to kill and destroy. But Christ said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. When I blaspheme God's name, when I trampled under my feet the blood of Christ, God was a showering His blessing and love upon me. How can I not love a God like that, that loved me when I was so wicked and evil? Oh, she's totally ignorant of the goodness and what Hosea had done for her. Brother Luke, he didn't go out bragging. He knew there'd come a day when what he did would be that much more appreciated. Because you didn't make a public display of what he'd done. But behind the scene, old Gomer thought that her lovers were bringing her that food and leaving it, or bringing her clothes and the necessities of life. But it never was them. That was Hosea the whole time. Oh, and you and I, when we were lost and undone without God, it was God that didn't let that car hit that embridgment. It was God that didn't let you OD on drugs. It was God that didn't let you get a hold of some bad liquor. It was God that inspired your life. Oh, hallelujah. He gave you air to breathe. He put oxygen in your lungs. Let your heart beat. And you blessed him. And you cursed him. And you walked on his word and broke his heart. But he loved you in spite of it. That's the mercy of God. Boy, I tell you, God gets a bum rap in this world. Hollywood makes me sick. All they ever do is make God out to be the villain. I was thinking of it not long back. I don't even know what it was. But there's some movie about war. And I like studying history a lot. And anything got history in it, I'll watch it. And there were this man's on the battlefield. And this priest is there. And he's about to die. And he looks up in this priest's face. And he says, next time you see God, why don't you ask him, where was he when I needed him? I'll tell you where he was. His arm shatters. Thank God with his mercy and his umbrella grace all around us. That's where he was. Boy, God loves us, don't he? Here's Gomer representing us. I'm Gomer. Jesus is Hosea. And when I think about this, there's two amazing things about this chapter or this story. The first one is that man can be so guilty. That's an amazing thing. The second one is, and it trumps the first one, that God can be so gracious. Hey, it's one thing that man's so guilty. And listen to me, the problem with religious people, they never realize how guilty they are. I'll tell you one thing, if your sin's bad enough that the Son of God had to die in order for you to be forgiven, that's bad. If your sin's bad enough to take you to hell, Adolf Hitler and Mussolini, you're bad. I'll tell you what's wrong with a lot of saved people. They never really understood the depth that God reached down. I don't care if that's 5 years old or 7 years old, the depth that God reach down and save them by his marvelous grace. That'll make you humble before him. Lord God, oh Hosea, never forgot that covenant of his life. God never forgot that covenant that he made with Abraham and the fathers of Israel. Yet in spite of all of God's goodness, they sin yet more and more and more. And many of us can say, that's me. Instead of God's goodness bringing me to repentance, I sin more and more and more. I didn't have thanksgiving in my heart to God. I'll tell you something, friend. You can be taught to love God, but you can't really love God. If the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, that's when you love God, thank God, praise God, and give glory to God when you're saved by grace. Oh, I think about how amazing that God could love me. That's an amazing thing. You say, what are you trying to say? You don't know me like I do. A lot of fun. I'm telling you, I heard a preacher say one time, he said, if you knew me like I know me, you wouldn't hear listen to me preach. And he said, if I knowed you like you know you, you'd run while I was trying to do it. Well, it's exactly right. We're all in the same bag. There ain't nobody can put it, stick their nose at me and say, I'm better than thou. No, no, no. We're all sinners deserving hell fire. But thank God for the mercy that he gave us. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing that God could love us still? God could warn me still. I'm going to tell you something. Our mamas, if you had an old-fashioned mother, Your mother was patient with you. Your daddy was patient with you. But their patience, there'll come a day it runs out.
Yeah.
But God's never did for me.
Amen.
And if you're saved tonight, or you're under the sound of my voice, God's mercy and God's patience and God's long suffering is still being stretched forth and yielded to your life. Hey, that boy that died down in Caldwell County on a motorcycle wreck, why wasn't that you? Why wasn't that me? That next person or last person that got wrapped around a tree, why wasn't that you? Why wasn't that me? Oh, I'm trying to tell you, the mercy and the patience and the long suffering of God is unbelievable. In spite of all, Brother Jesse, she's got worse. The more Hosea had done, the worse she got. You know, it was not, Brother Mike, till Hosea bought her back that her heart went out to him. After she got redeemed, she started loving her husband. That's when she saw it. Oh, she saw the price that he paid and the love that he loved her. That's when you'll worship God. That's when you'll serve God. And a preacher won't have to browbeat you, hang a bunch of threats and judgment over you. You'll do it out of love and mercy when you've been redeemed and you realize the love God loved you with and the great price he paid for your soul. Well, praise God, I'm trying to get to this first point if I ever get there. I see in Hosea and Gomer the undeniable demonstration of God's goodness. You can't read this and deny it. It's undeniable. I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold. Who said that? Hosea did. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? I brought nothing in this world, and I'm taking nothing out of it. There's not a hearse with a U-Haul on the back of it. We've all come naked and we're leaving like we came. Everything in between is a gift from the benevolent hand of a thrice holy God that loved us more than his own self. The Bible says a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Some say the corn and the wine mentioned here are simply the fruit of one's labor. You sow all the seeds you want. You plant all the plants you want, and then you command the harvest. You tell God that controls the heavens to send the rain. I tell you, you can plow the field, you can sow the seed, you can put everything, your efforts in it, and if God does not send the rain, if God don't send the right weather, if God don't keep the pestilence off, if God don't keep the wind off of it and the storms, you're not going to have a harvest. I'm telling you, every grape that was ever placed in a cluster was the hand of God. Work all you want to, and it's still got to give you sweat. And it's got to give you a brain. And it's got to give you hands. And it's got to give you strength. And it's got to give the land. And it's got to give the rain. And it's got to give the sunshine. Everything about us is a gift from God Almighty. You might as well admit it. All God's got to do is withhold the rain and we'll all die. Who gives you health and strength? Who gives you that job? God. The man on his sick bed. A lot of times, we don't realize this till we lose it all. Man on his sick bed, about to cross Chile Jordan into the great beyond, we'll realize one thing, how weak he is, how dependent that he is on God. How man can strike when he's feeling good, and his bill folds full, and his car's full of gas, and his bills are paid. Let that man lose his health, let that man lose his wealth, he'll find out real fast how dependent he is on the hand of God Almighty. I've multiplied her silver and her gold. Boy, the success of business is based upon 1,000 conditions. conditions, and a million things can go wrong. If God smiled on you and God blessed you, God wants you to give Him glory and honor for what He's done. I'll tell you what, God can make this country, Haiti, a third world country overnight if He wanted to. Only God can give success. You say, I got an IQ of 140. Well, if you got it, God give it to you. I didn't get much brains when God made me, but I got enough to get saved. That's pretty smart. I never was real smart, but I got smart enough to not want to go to hell. I got smart enough to know I can't save myself. I got smart enough to know that the blood of Jesus Christ was all that could forgive me and save me. Parents leave their children inheritance. Think about this for a minute. How that a lot of times our little schemes and our little plans seemingly don't work, but maybe daddy dies or mama dies or a friend dies and leaves you something in this world. But who was it give you parents? Who was it bless them? Who was it put it in their heart to bless you? I'm here to tell you, I can't strut in front of God. All I can do is fall prostrate at His feet and say, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir, for all you've done for me. Boy, temporal blessings come from God. All spiritual blessings come from God. Let me just show you the mess you're in and the mess I'm in. If you're here tonight lost, you're saved. You was born dead. By nature, a man's dead spiritually. He didn't partially fall. He totally fell in the Garden of Eden. There's not one spark of goodness in a man. You say, that offends me. Then you need to be offended. God said, there's not one righteous. No, not one. There's not one that doeth good. No, not one. You say, are you saying there's not a good man in this world? I'm saying apart from God, we can do no good. And apart from God, we're not righteous. It's the righteousness of Christ that makes a difference. By nature, you was dead. How can a dead man give himself life? A dead man needs the life of God. By nature, a sinner cannot give himself life. A sinner can't forgive himself because he's not sinned against himself. He's sinned against God. The only one that can say, I forgive, is God. A man, a sinner, cannot impute the righteousness of Christ to himself. Only God can declare you righteous. God freely gives, and God freely bestows. Faith is a gift of God. Repentance is a gift of God. Forgiveness is a gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God. Eternal life is a gift of God. The indwelling Holy Ghost is a gift of God. The Bible is a gift of God. That's why I'm trying to say how much we owe this benevolent God that we serve. So you got the undeniable demonstration of God's goodness. And then the unawareness of God's generosity. She did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold. When she comes to her senses, after Hosea redeems her, finally, Brother Todd, she understands that Hosea all the time was blessing her. That's going to make her love him that much more. I tell you what, if you're here tonight and lost and undone without God, and God saves you, and you look back and that wasn't luck, and that wasn't good fortune, that wasn't just a chance, that it was God that inspired you and loved you, that'll make you love Him more when you understand how much God preserved you and His providence looked over you. So many people in this world ain't even got a clue who God is and what God does for them. All the gifts and all the mercy and all the grace from the hand and the heart of God. Some are unaware because of natural ignorance. And some are unaware because of the hardness of their heart. I pity the man that does not know that he owes a debt to God. But I pity more the man that knows that and does not care. Boy, that's a big difference. In other words, I pity the boy that don't realize how much he's indebted to his mom and dad, but I pity more the man that knows it and don't care.
Amen.
What a tragedy. Many mention the name of God in dirty jokes, profanity, and blasphemy. They'd never give God one ounce of credit. They'd never brought glory to God one day of their life. They've never done one thing that bring praise of the name of God, but God still lets them go to sleep, and God lets them get up, and God deals with their heart, and God reveals Himself to them. What a God. There are those who are guilty through thoughtless ignorance. Not just natural ignorance, but thoughtless ignorance. Some people can thank everybody but God. Ball player gets up and thank my mama.
Yeah.
Half of them don't know who daddy is anyhow.
Amen.
I want to thank my mama. I want to thank grandma. I want to thank St. Christopher.
Yeah.
I want to thank my pit crew.
Uh-huh.
I want to thank my coach. I want to thank this one and thank that one. But very few ever really thank God from their heart. The wicked shall be turned into hell, all the nations that forget God. Why are they going to be cast into hell? Because of blasphemed God? No. Are they going to be turned into hell because they're low down and sorry? No. Are they going to be cast into hell because they deny God? No. Are they going to be cast into hell because that they're drunks and whoremongers? No. They'll be turned into hell because they forgot God. That's what it says. He who forgets the king, they say, becomes a traitor. The soldier that forgets his nation will become a deserter. The boy that forgets his mother will become a prodigal. But the man that forgets God will lose his soul in eternal damnation. I tell you, God's so great. God's so good. He deserves my thought process. He deserves me to meditate on Him once in a while. Really, He deserves it all the time. Some are unaware of the love of God because of deluded thoughts. They look at everything favorable. They think that luck was on their side. Oh, I was fortunate. I was lucky. Not I was blessed. My life was spared because I was lucky. Not because God blessed me. I've got a nice house and a nice car because I've worked hard. Not because God blessed me. I missed that point of death. Not because God was merciful to me, but because I had a good doctor and a good nurse. Don't you think that it so grieves? God expects that from a lost man, but God's people ought to give God praise for what He's done for them. Well, folks, well, I was lucky I got over that sickness. I read this somewhere that luck, fortune, and chance are the devil's trinity to rob God of the glory and the honor that He deserves. What does the Bible say over there in the book of Romans 1 of that pagan evolutionist secular humanist society? When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Oh, how it excites the heart of God when a saint of God stands up and don't brag about how good they've been, don't brag about what they've done. They are overwhelmed that God saved them and God loves them and God's blessed them. That's what rejoices the heart of God. Don't be mindful of the heavenly blessing. I'm telling you something. If you, the more you thank God and praise God, the more He'll want to bless you because He likes hearing it.
Amen.
Know ye not that the Lord, He is God? It is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and to His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. You know what God warned Israel? When I brought you in the land, I blessed you and I poured it on you. I mean poured it on you. You better be what? Lest you forget me. I believe a lot of times when folks have nothing but cornbread and milk, they're a lot more thankful to God when they sit down there and have a steak or some piece of good meat or have all these conveniences that man's got today. I believe our forefathers 100 years ago that read the Bible by a lamp that was fueled by oil or a candle was more thankful for what they had as central heat and air conditioning and electricity and cars and trucks. All these things we've got today. I'm afraid God's petted us so much that it spoiled us and we forgot how to be thankful unto Him. I tell you one thing, I want to, Brother Luke, I want to thank him when he's good to me. I don't want God to have to bankrupt me to have to be thankful. Amen. What would the parent think of the child? Now, listen. Now, real mom and dad, there ain't nothing you can do to get them to hate you. But you can sure break their heart. What would a parent think if they worked all their life, fingers about to the bone, and they did without them, they provided and they stacked away some things for their children. Finally, they come to the place of death, a heart attack or a stroke or something has taken their life. And right before they go, their youngers are already fighting over what they're going to get. Not one of them said, Dad, I want to thank you. Mom, I want to thank you for all those times that you got up in the early morning or the early hours of the day, fixed something for me to eat. All those times you washed my clothes, and all those times you ironed my clothes, and all those times you wiped my fevered brow. And Daddy, thank you for working with you out in the cold weather. All the times that you provided a nice warm house for us, and all you did to try to scratch out a living in this whole world. No thank you and no praise or honor to that mom or dad. It grieved them to death. What do you think of God? What I think of God? When we never have a word of thank you or a word of praise. I wasn't born in Africa, thank God. I wasn't born in China, thank God. I wasn't born in communism, hallelujah. I was born in the USA, in the South, in North Carolina, and where the gospel has been preached everywhere. And the least I can do is thank Him for what He's done for me. Hallelujah. Boy, He's a good God. There are others who forget God from assumed ignorance. They profess that they're intelligent and don't think they need God. What a fool. I didn't say that. God said that. Boy, there's some big idiots in this world. One of them's named Jesse Ventura, who's an ex-wrestler who was governor of Minnesota. And he loves to dig at God. He loves to put down God. He loves to put down God's people. And ask him one day about his religion. He said, I don't need a crutch like religion. God is a crutch. And I don't need, hey, I'm a cripple and I need a crutch. Hey, I'm not leaving tonight on some crutch, though. I'm leaving on the everlasting arm of a thrice holy God. Hallelujah. Boy, fall for the lie of evolution and rob God of the glory. Yeah. Nothing plus no one equals everything. I might not be smart, but I ain't that dumb.
Right.
Nothing plus no one does not equal everything. There's never been a bigger lie hatched out of hell that's more unbelievable than evolution. It'd be like a brand new Corvette, 500 horsepower, 6-speed, sitting in this building, and somebody said, it come from a tin can on its own. What fool could believe that? Hey, I tell you, the complexity and the intelligence behind the design of this world and universe demands a maker and demands God. And when I look at the heavens and I see what the fingers of God have done, it causes me to give Him glory for who He is. And no doubt David said, no wonder he said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There are those who forget God from willful ignorance. They don't even think about Him. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. I know people, if you say God to them and it ain't cussing, they'll get mad at you and not talk to you for a month. They get angry. I mean, buddy, there's something rises up in them. If you just mention the Lord or the Word of God, that's demon possession. That's people that so hate God. Willful ignorance. I don't know God. I don't want to know God. Don't you talk to me about God unless you're cursing God. It's your attitude. Boy, I tell you what, how that must grieve God. Free sun. Free rainfall. Free oxygen. What if God sent you a bill for the power that the sun generates every day? What if God sent me a bill for the water that He sends? What if God sent me a bill for the oxygen? What if God sent me a bill for the angels He's put around me to protect me? What if God sent me a bill for all the blood it cost to give me that Bible and give me a Savior? Hey, I can't pay. I ain't got nothing to pay with. That's why I thank God that it's free. But since it's free and I'm undeserving and it's all of grace, oh, is it too much for me to say thank You, Lord? I want to give You glory for what You've done for me. Oh, think about God. He wakes you up every morning with the light of the sun. Mercifully closes the day with a curtain of night with the darkness so you can rest. That's the mercy of God. He lets it rain on the just and the unjust. What man in this building would own a cow and not expect milk from it or meat from it? What man would own a horse and keep that horse up, never expect to ride it, never expect to work it? What kind of a man wants a real dog like a beagle that hunts rabbits, or a real dog like a red bone, or a real dog like a blue tick? At least those have to do something right. Hey, what kind of a man want a dog like that? Put money in that dog and expect nothing from it? What kind of a God would give us all of this stuff and expect nothing from us? You owe Him, buddy. I don't care who you are. You owe Him. I owe Him. I tell you, I owe Him a debt I can't pay, and He ain't asking me to pay it. He knows I can't pay it. All He wants is a little bit of respect and appreciation because of all He's done for me. I preach this at church all the time. Me and Moslow here is talking about this coming up here. You know what? Ladies, let me tell you a little secret. Kids, let me tell you a little secret. It ain't real hard for you to get that man what you need. If a woman will respect a man and appreciate him, he'll kill himself buying for her. That's one thing a man demands, is respect and appreciation. And when his kids don't respect him, and when they never appreciate nothing he does for them, he gets to the point he gets tired of giving. Hey, aren't you glad God don't run out of patience like we do? Oh, bless His name. I'll not just be in hell. I'll be in the dungeon of hell tonight. Oh, just because of the unthankfulness that's been in my heart. Oh, God, give me a good mom and a good daddy. Heard good preaching all my life. Had the Bible all my life. I've known truth all my life. And I thank God and I praise Him for it. But I've never given Him enough praise or enough thanks. I thank God the Holy Ghost for striving with me. I fought Him as hard as I could, but I lost.
Amen.
Thank God. I got in that wrestling match like Jacob, and I lost too. Boy, you better thank God if He's bothering you. There's a lot of sinners in hell right now and wish He'd have bothered them. You better thank God if God's agitating you. You better thank God if them saints of God's praying for you and that wife or husband's concerned for you or parents concerned for their children. You better thank God if somebody cares about your never dying soul going to an everlasting hell. Thank God all the times God strove with my heart and dealt with me in tenderness, kindness, and mercy. Undeniable demonstration of God's goodness, the unawareness of God's grace, and then lastly, the unappreciation of God's gift. What it says here? It says, I multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. See, they just didn't appreciate it. They took it and made an image like unto the skill of a man's hands, some idol made out of wood or stone or metal, and called that God. Changed the uncorruptible God into an image of four-footed beast and of the creeping things of the earth. What evil would it be for a king to give you abundance and then you turn right around and pay your allegiance to the enemy? Listen to me a minute. Let me get this down here where we can understand it. You say, preacher, you're making me feel like an egg-sucking dog. Listen to me. I'm trying to get you and me to see how much we owe him. And how much we ought to appreciate him. Let's take this for an illustration. Let's take the King of England. He don't have any children, for example. And he says, my wife can't have children and we want to adopt. And they say, well, we know plenty of children that would make you a good child. He said, I tell you what I want to do. I want you to go out in the streets and the highways and hedges. I want you to find the poorest kid in town. I want you to find the one that lives off the street. One ain't never known a home. One that ain't never had one advantage in life. One that's never been loved. One that's never been hugged. One that's never been cared for. You find that child and you bring that child to me because I'm so abundantly rich. I've got so much to shower on that child. I know if I do that, that child would appreciate me. And the story goes on, that child comes in and they teach that child how to act with etiquette and with royalty. And they clothe that child in the best clothes. And then that child grows up and instead of fighting for the nation of England, goes and joins the Russian army and denies the king and denies his authority and denies the goodness and publicly talks about how the king molested him, how the king never fed him, and all of it hatched up lies. How many people are bitter at God in this world? And the king that so abundantly blessed them, they turn right around and give their allegiance to the low-down, stinking, slimy devil. Amen. And you know that's the truth. Amen. That's what Israel did. She decked herself with her own rings and jewels, went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord. The very gold God gave them, they made idols out of. Silver God gave them, they bowed down and worshiped the gods of the hands of men. The gifts of God were given, but not to augment pride. They swelled up in pride and didn't give glory to God. They acted as if there was no God and everything they had come from the works of their own hands. His gifts were misused. According to their pastor, they were filled. They filled their heart and was exalted. Therefore, have they forgot me? Boy, they used the very gifts of God to deny him, to justify their sin, and to break his commandments. Isn't that sad? I can't jump on that crowd. That was me at one time. Are you listening? I tell you, if much is given, much is required. And that's so. How much do I owe God? I tell you, there's a song Jack Holcomb used to sing. I was born to serve the Lord. I'm out of gas. Hallelujah. Born to serve the Lord. We just listened to a song coming up here. And that song says, how can I not praise Him for what He's done for me? How can I not? How can I not give Him praise? I owe it to Him. I mean, how can I not? How can I not be overwhelmed at what God's done? But listen to me. People take the gifts of God and pervert them. There's a many a woman that's been given the gift of beauty, and they abuse that to seduce men's lust and cause them to sin. Many a man's been blessed to God with material things, and they hoard, and won't bless the poor and the needy and be good to God's people. There's a lot of folks say they're saved. They won't tithe. They won't give. They'll do nothing. They keep the lights on and the doors open, and they think they owe God nothing, and they want to shout about grace, and they want to shout about God when they won't give God a dime. Are you listening? God gives us great influence for a reason. God doesn't give a man charisma for him to take advantage of people. God doesn't give you power over people for you and influence to take advantage of that. He does that for you to be a blessing to people in this world. Oh, the unworthiness of God's grace. When I understand that at any time, God can withhold and take away His gifts. If He give them freely, He can take them anytime He wants to. He said, I'll take away my corn in the time thereof. That's the harvest. And my wine in the season thereof. That's the time of vintage. While you've got good health, while you've got a good mind. Hey, give that life to God. Give your service to God. Don't wait till your deathbed trying to find God. and down in regret that you never spent one day in the service of the Lord. While you got good lungs and a good mind and good health, do something for the glory of God. God can take it a whole lot quicker than you ever got it. God said, I can send the blight, I can send the drought, I can send the storm and take it all away because it's mine to start with. Brother Jeff, God gives me what I got to see what I'll do with it. Oh yeah. Am I going to spend it all on me? Or am I going to bless somebody else? There's an old saying, Brother Mike, and it's like this. It's a sermon. And it says if God can get it through you, He'll get it to you. But if God can't get nothing through you, why would He want to get something to you? Hey, God don't bless me for me to make myself somebody and better than all. He blesses me to be a blessing to humanity. Oh, what a blessing that it is. I like what my uncle used to say. He said, oh, I'd rather be on the giving end than the receiving end. Thank God I'm on the giving end. I'm not the one needing the gospel tonight. Thank God I'm giving to get it out to somebody that needs it. Prodigal son came home through the swine trough. He said, I'll rise and go to my father. He got his mind blowed. He is down there at the slop hole. And he said, I'll return or I'll go home. He said, Bible says when he came to himself, he realized how much better it is at daddy's house than down here. You know what Hosea said? She said, I'll go and return to my first husband. It was better with me than now. Oh, that God's people. Well, don't you ever forget those of you that are saved. You never had as good a time out there in sin as you've had since God saved you. For every good time I ever had serving sin, I had 1,000 days of misery. Amen. That's exactly right. And the worst day I've ever had since God saved me, better than the best day I had in the world. I'm not talking about the pleasure of my flesh. I'm talking about that peace that the devil can't take away. And that I'm saved. Praise God in the assurance of knowing God. Oh, the blessing of that God can. I tell you one thing. I don't want God having to take it all away and humble me to get me to know where it come from. I'm afraid that God might have to do to this country. You know what he said to Nebuchadnezzar? Oh, Nebuchadnezzar went over there and took those little Jews out of Israel. He mistreated them. And God said, the cruelty you showed on them, I'm going to judge you for it. Now, they sinned against me, but you mistreated them. And God told Nebuchadnezzar, got proud one day. He said, he stuck his chest down and said, hey, look what I've done, big mistake. Like that man that said, looked at all the heads and said, hey, look what I've done. What God said to Nebuchadnezzar, he ate grass as an oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs grew like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird claws. And for 7 years he lived outside like a cow or like a horse, till his reasoning came to him, and he looked up and recognized and gave glory to the God of heaven. That's what the Bible says. Because he is so proud, God had to humble him so low. See, the prouder a man is, the more he's got to be humbled. I want to humble myself. I don't want God humbling me. I'll tell you one thing. I've been to the woodshed where the blood's shed and the tears are shed, and I don't like it. Hey, I like to just humble myself. Come before God and say, God, everything that I've ever done, if I've ever done anything worth talking about, is you. If I got anything worth bragging about, it's you. If there's any one thing good about me, it's you. And I give you honor, glory, and praise. Hallelujah. Boy, when God takes away the health and the wealth and throws us on the sick bed, I tell you what, things change. God can throw a stroke on a man, and that very night that man can lose it all and be humbled at the power of God. The goodness of God leads you to repentance. God ain't want to throw bad on you. God ain't want to cut your legs out from under you. He wants you to love Him, respect Him, and appreciate Him. I don't want to be like he said of Ephraim. Ephraim's joined his idols. Let him alone. You know what old Hosea done? I say this and I'm done. He loved her after she publicly humiliated him and embarrassed him and abused him and forsook him. Everybody in town, hey, that's Hosea's wife. I was with Hosea's wife last night. Hey, wasn't that church member down at the ABC store? Wasn't that church member down there buying beer? Wasn't that church member down there in the red light district? Wasn't that church member down there at the casino? Wasn't that church member down there living like the world? Hey, after we brought shame and reproach to the name of God, he still loved us. He still honored us. He loved her and provided for her when she was unaware and didn't even appreciate it. He redeemed her and took her back to be his wife. And when he brought her back, she says, "Don't you call me your husband." She said, "I ain't worthy." He said, "I'm going to call you my lover." Ain't that Jesus? After I treated God like a dog, and then God put me in his family, called me his son, called me his child, and never brings up my past. Never brings up what I've done to him. Acts like I've loved him all my life. Acts like I've been good all my life. Acts like I've obeyed him all my life. And treats me like royalty. That's God. And the grace and mercy of God. God loved us in spite of our sin, rebellion, our public and private treatment of him. He loved and provided for us when we were unconcerned and unthankful. He redeemed us and forgave us when we were unworthy, unfaithful, and unappreciative. And my people are bent to backslide from me, God said in Hosea 11:7. Though they called them to the Most High, none all would exalt him. But you know what God said in all that? I love his verse, hallelujah. Hosea 11:8, when God listed all they'd done to him. The devil said, "Hey God, do you know how bad your people are?" God said, "Let me tell you how bad they really are." And God got to listen how sorry they'd been and all their wickedness. And then I hear the heartbreak of God and the love of God for Israel. He said, "How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboam?" That's two of the cities that got destroyed in Sodom and Gomorrah. My heart's turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. He said, "How could you love Jeffrey Dahmer's? I can't. How can I love Charles Manson? I can't. I love my children no matter what they do." And God's got his target of mercy on some of you. And God said, "How can I turn you over to the flesh and the devil and hell fire? My heart's moved within me. I love you and I want you to be mine." We owe God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I can't even get out what's in my heart about this stuff. He is so good. Oh, thank you for being a friend. I think about the least I can do is serve him. Lord, I owe you a debt of gratitude. And I owe you a debt of praise. And I owe you a debt to honor you and glorify you all the days of my life. And for all eternity, that's all we're going to do is love on him.
Amen.
He let you. He allowed man to sin. He didn't initiate it. God's not the author of sin. But God allowed man to sin. And you got old enough to say, "Well, I don't need God and I don't need the Bible. Mom and Daddy, I hate your rules and hate your regulations. I'm going to rebel and go as I please." And God lets you do it. God let your belly get full of it. And when it did, he ought to slammed you in the precipice of the damned. He come after you with the best robe and a new ring. And he loved you. And it's like the Holy Ghost weeps on a man. You know what conviction is? When God breaks you, Brother Todd, when God breaks us, and we come, it's like God's standing there, and he just starts weeping on us. He said, "Son, I've waited so long. I've been waiting a long time for you to acknowledge me. I've been waiting a long time for you to say, God, I'm sorry. I've been waiting a long time for you to want me to change you, and you finally found out you couldn't change yourself. I've been waiting a long time for you to accept me and trust me. You'll never make heaven happier than when you get saved. All of heaven rejoices when one sinner comes to repentance. Well, the Bible says, and I'm done, they rejoice in the presence of the angels of God. Where are angels at? They're on the earth and they're in heaven. So every time somebody gets saved, somebody's going to praise God here and they're going to praise God there. The Bible says when Jesus saw the travail of His soul, He is satisfied. What are you going to give God? He already owns it all to impress Him. There ain't one thing you ever give God to impress Him at your heart.
Amen.
That's what He's waiting on.
Yeah.
I wonder who... Let me tell you this. I feel impressed to tell you this. When I first started preaching, I was reading the book by Charles Finney. And Charles Finney said, if you want to really appreciate God, write down the sins you committed. Oh, God. When God saved me and I got right with God, Brother Mike, I didn't list every sin I ever committed. I couldn't even remember them all. I don't even recognize some sins of being sin, Brother Jeff, because God's so holy. I started writing down things, and the more I wrote down, look, the bigger my sin got. And the weight, what God forgave me of. Then He said, write down every time that you narrowly escaped death. And it was like a computer went on in my mind. And I don't know how long I wrote when I got done with God reminding me. Over 50 times, and I wasn't but 21 years old or 22 years old then when I'd done that, that I wrote down over 50 times I narrowly escaped death. The first car I ever owned was a 67 Chevelle, Super Sport, and I'm as dumb as some of you that had cars like that and sold them. Oh, what would it be worth today? Don't even remind me of that stuff. We'd pick my buddies up at a old pool hall. We was going down the road, they was drunk, nice, sober. And they said, slow this thing down. They shouldn't have said that. They said that, I stoned it. And I went around a curve, that pan was buried. And for over a year, the black marks where I slid through that thing. 1,000 directions I could have went, Luke. And I know exactly where the spot's at. There's a big old cornfield that's plowed up on the left. There's houses over here and fields over here. Big old embankments here and ditches. There's a little old road where the old farmer took his tractor, crossed that gully, that ditch into that field. And I was going in so many directions, I was totally out of control. And as if I drove that car perfectly right up that little old road. And I got up there, and as soon as I crossed that ditch, I hit a big rock that threw that car up in the air, and it come down and the battery fell out. And it cut off. One of them old boys with me got out of the car and fell down that ditch. That's how close we were to it. He got the curse from God and I was ready to kill him. I said, don't you dare curse God's name when He spared our life. Hey, when I look back at that, my foolishness, how did the devil make me think I was invincible? I've done enough stupid things to be killed 1,000 times. But God loved me, spared me. Like some of you, you've had a gun cocked to your head and it wouldn't go off. And you're sitting here tonight and it'll about make you tremble. How close Satan got you to hell. And God stopped you. Mercy. I was with my cousin one night at a keg party and this old boy jumped on my cousin. And when he did, I stomped him in the ground and I had murder in my heart. First time in my life I ever felt murder in my heart. I was beating his head in the ground. And they pulled me off of him. And finally we staggered out of that place. He's coming down through the darkness in the woods with a gun. And said, I'll kill that blankety blank blank when I see him. And I walked right past him and heard him say it. And God spared my life again. Over and over until you thank God and exalt Jesus tonight. That He loved me in spite of me. Somebody in here tonight, He sure is after you. He's a loving you. He wants you to know He wants you more than anything in this world. This would be a good night. This could be the spot. But you can go back and say, that night God found me. God saved me. By His marvelous grace, let's stand on our feet. Heads bowed, our eyes are closed.